You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of October 4th, 2016, and episode number 284. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. We've got a busy night tonight. I have spent a lot of work researching some stuff here, and it's going to be a fast hour. So fasten your seatbelt, sit back, grab some rum or whatever drink you have close by, and get ready. Tonight we're going to be talking about elfin magic. Big dish in Little China. Well, a little Chinese town, or I don't know which headline I should have went with. Maybe China is on the fast track. Okay, well, you'll figure it out. MUFON sighting statistics for September. A book gets an update and relaunch on its 30th anniversary. And we'll unmask the truth on the recent clown pandemic sweeping the country. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this clown thing here. So, yeah, if you want to learn about what's been going on, I'm going to break it down for you day by day, case by case, and potentially city by city, what's been going on with the clown stuff. And we'll also have the book of the week and whatever other kind of information I can throw at you within an hour. But first, I want to let you know this episode is brought to you in part by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in a metaphysics field. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And one thing I just want to throw out here real quick is that Westerville Public Library will have me as a guest once again for the 8th consecutive year. That's coming up on October 27th. Man, is it coming up quick. It's already October 4th. Good grief. Halloween will be here before you know it. And this is our silly season, as I call it. So Westerville Public Library, if you're interested in going to that event, please register in advance. That way they can they know how many people are going to be there. And I've done pretty good the last 7 years. I packed the house quite a few times. And usually about this time, I usually get a notice that it's packed. And I'm looking forward to that as well. So I'm going to skip all the other stuff and I'm going to jump right into the news because there's a lot of stuff to cover, especially with this clown stuff. And, you know, I was reluctant to cover it, but it's out of control. It's out of hand. Speaking of out of control, we're going to jump into cryptid news right now and we're going to talk about elves. Yeah, elves. You don't really get too many stories about elves. So when I read this story, I said, I got to cover this, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think it's really interesting, actually. And people will kind of snicker maybe at this, but trust me, there's a little lesson here at the end of this, and you're going to enjoy it. So this takes place in northern Iceland. A company has had some bad luck after trying to clear a roadway last year. So this story spans an entire year. Now, the company was clearing the roadway after a series of heavy storms which covered it in mud from mudslides. Using heavy equipment, they had intended to merely push the debris over the side of the road. No harm, no foul, right? No big deal. Just clear the road and get back to business. However, a strange series of weird occurrences happened at the site and the simple task stretched out into 10 long days. A lot of strange things happened. One man was hurt when he fell. I know that's not mysterious, and accidents happen. But as the heavy equipment was used to clear the road, sudden mudslides would come out of nowhere and force them to stop. A reporter came out to cover the event, and he suddenly sank in the mud, waist deep, and had to be rescued. A bulldozer broke down, which shut down the operation as well. And there's a lot of other weird stuff that happened. So what could have caused all of this? Well, obviously the mudslides probably caused a lot of this stuff, but locals pointed toward a rock. Yes, a rock. The rock has a name. Where can you go where people name rocks on the roadside? I don't know. Well, anyway, this rock has got a weird Icelandic name, and I'm not very good on the whole Icelandic kind of things, but I'm going to give it a shot here. Alfkonjustein, which translates to Elfin Lady Stone, rests on the roadway near Siglafjordur in Iceland. The rock is said to be home of elves. They live in rocks. I didn't know that. I thought they lived in trees, right? And they bake cookies? I don't know, maybe I got my things mixed up here. The elves are thought to have been behind the strange occurrences since the rock had been unintentionally covered in mud by the road crew clearing the roadway last year. While it sounds silly, similar events have happened in the past in Iceland as well, along the same lines. In another city, elves were purportedly responsible for hindering construction near a similar rock on four occasions until construction was abandoned. The Iceland Road Administration has also abandoned plans to dig a tunnel after a series of accidents were attributed to elves. Now, the Elfin Lady Stone is considered a sacred artifact, and a law was put into place in 2012 that all places reputed for magic or are connected to folklore, folktales, customs, or national beliefs should be protected for their cultural heritage. A rock. Talking about a rock on the side of a road. It's a pretty big rock, though. If you look at the stories, there is a picture of a guy power washing it, which is, they finally dug it out last week. And yeah, they power washed it, cleaned it off. It's all sparkly, shiny now. And hopefully the elves can go home and watch some football. I don't know. What else? What do elves do? I don't know. And hopefully that'll do the trick and there'll be no more bad luck. Now, you can laugh. You can say that's silly. These people are crazy. They believe in elves, for crying out loud. Well, you know, we believe in a lot of weird stuff, too. And we have a lot of weird stuff, too. If we think about our belief systems and we think about some of the silly things that we believe in, that we take it for granted that we think about. Granted, not elves and things, but we believe in Bigfoot, too. There's no verifiable evidence of Bigfoot. I don't think they have those in Iceland. So they got to believe in something. I guess it gets pretty boring in Iceland, so they gotta come up with something. So elves, that's your cryptid news. Hope it was worth it. UFO news. Yeah, we got two stories, and one. This is kind of a revisit to this story, and I was kind of mad the first time I talked about this because of what was going on with the people. The story was mentioned back when this. This dish was being built back in 2011, and it was to be the largest radio satellite dish ever built. And the fact that many people were being forced from their homes because of the quiet area the dish would need in order to operate. I was a little upset about that because thousands of people were displaced just to build a radio dish, a radio telescope. I mean, I thought it was cool. They were doing this, but at the same time, people were losing their homes, places that they grew up in. Villages were being basically just demolished for this the dish. And finally, it's gone online. Now, China has some ambitious plans for the future in space, including a permanent space station. You probably heard about this in the news. They're looking for a permanent space station by the year 2020. That's pretty ambitious. That's it's already almost 2017 already. That's pretty quick. It's a lot of technology. It's a lot of, money, I guess, is no object. But It's a lot of stuff you got to put in place in a pretty short period of time. And they're also looking at a trip to the moon. Trip to the moon. That's not going to be easy either. Now, the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope, which is a mouthful, well, you can call it by its acronym, FAST, F-A-S-T, the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope. I like FAST. I think it's cool. So the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope went online on Sunday, September 25th. And the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope is now the largest single-dish radio telescope in the world, surpassing the dish at Arecibo, Puerto Rico. Yes, that's the pretty famous radio dish down there, Arecibo. It's been on a couple of movies, Sphere, and it was the area where the Chupacabra got his start. I don't know what's going to happen up there in China. Now, the dish on Arecibo's telescope is 1,000 feet across, while China's dish is over 1,600 feet across. China's FAST telescope also bores twice as much power. Twice as much power. It's only a little bit further across, but it boasts twice as much power as Arecibo's little dish. Now, the new dish cost China 1.2 billion yuan, approximately $180 million U.S., and over 10,000 villagers who live within a three-mile radius, who are relatively poor, it's not like cities or towns or anything, just kind of villages, were forced to leave their land. But the good news with all of this is that they were built apartments and given financial compensation by the government for having to move out of the area. Now, you wonder why would they have to move out of the area. It's just a radio telescope. It's not like it's a real telescope. You know, they're going to build fires or have lights. Well, the large area is needed to keep false positives from disturbing the dish, and cell phones are not even allowed to be used in the area due to the possibility of electronic interference. So that's really the main reason why they had to move all these people. So it is for the good, for the scientific good, I guess. It just seems kind of mean. But China has a track record. I'm just going to throw that out there. Building of the Three Gorges Dam, they had to move a lot more than 10,000 people. So a lot of these ambitious projects, unfortunately, I have to move a lot of these people. And even though China has a lot of people, obviously, but there's also a lot of land. But people are kind of scattered throughout this land. So unfortunately, anytime they do anything major, people have to vacate that area. Now, Douglas Vakoch, I don't know how to pronounce his name, president of METI, or M-E-T-I, which stands for Messaging Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is the active version of SETI, which is, we all know, is the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is a passive attempt where they sit around and wait for contact or wait for little beeps in the sky or whatever, stated that this dish could, quote, lead to discoveries beyond our wildest imagination, unquote. Well, China has not stated if it intends to use the dish to search for or attempt to find messages from intelligent alien life forms. But one can only think that this will certainly be the case in the future. But I'm sure they have a lot of other work lined up for it now that it's online. I think they've already tested it. They've already gotten some signals from stars and different things, but not for alien signals, just signals in general, just to test this thing out. And hopefully these guys, one of the thoughts that popped into my mind, not that they don't know what they're doing, but it's a new dish. They do have people that have used, they do have radio dishes in China, but I'm kind of worried that maybe they may jump to conclusions about something too quickly if they find something that could potentially be alien. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait. We'll see what they turn up. I think it's a good thing that they've built this. It just still bothers me about having to displace all these people. But it's for the name of science. That's what I keep telling myself. We'll see what this comes up with. Now, it is bigger. But one of the things you have to consider is that Arecibo is closer to the equator. So it actually gets more of the sky, if that makes any sense, because it's closer to the equator than this FAST dish in China. But the power more than makes up for that. So it's able to see deeper or get more signals than poor little Arecibo, which has now been replaced as the biggest dish. Now, also in UFO news, we're going to talk MUFON sighting statistics. And big thanks goes out to MUFON field investigator and chat room regular Audrey Hamilton. We have this week's Mutual UFO Network sighting statistics for the month of September already. Now, last month, I made a bold prediction for 695 total worldwide sightings for the month of August, and there ended up being 696. Wow, I was close. 99%. I was off by, I think, less than a percent. It has to be less than a percent. It's pretty close. I was kind of shocked by that, to be honest with you. No, I didn't pad. I didn't call. I didn't make up falsified UFO reports or anything like that. I know what you're thinking. The total number of U.S. sightings for August was 489. Now, I guessed 515. Again, within 5%. It's not bad. So what about September? Now, I don't know. Maybe somebody wrote it down. I think Dita probably wrote this down. But if you remember, last month I predicted 675 total worldwide sightings and 471 sightings in the United States. Now, last month I was undershot by one, but this month I kind of went over a little bit. I predicted 675, and MUFON reported 652 total worldwide sightings, still within 3% if you do the math. And they also reported 466 sightings in the United States. Now, I guessed 400. Wait a minute. No, I didn't. What did I guess? I forget now. Where was I at? I was pretty close. It says 1%. So I guessed 675, 471. Oh, it was 466. So 471, I guessed. 466 is what they got. So again, I was within 1%. That's pretty good. 2 months in a row to be that close. Maybe I'll play the lottery. I don't know. It's pretty good. But yeah, I messed up the total reports, but I did much better on the U.S. reports. Not that it matters. I mean, it's just personal stuff here. But after the U.S. total of 466 reports, Canada was next, as they usually are, with 62 reports. United Kingdom, they were third with 38. Iran had 15. India, Australia, and Germany had 8 reports each. It really drops off after the U.S. and Canada and the U.K. Unfortunately, I just wish more people would report, not just worldwide, but at least the United States would report more. You know there's more UFO reports than this, and unfortunately, I don't know why. There's many reasons why. I think that people don't do it, but MUFON is still one of the best evidence or information gathering entities out there. And maybe entities isn't the right word, but organizations that collect data on UFO sightings. So it's something that I wish that people would just come together on this. And yes, there are other UFO collecting data agencies in the United States, as well as all over the world. A lot of countries have their own, and that's why you're not seeing some of these countries contribute to MUFON, because these other countries, especially Mexico, South America, China, India, they have their own UFO reporting centers that are very popular. Actually, some of these actually report on the news, the local news, almost every night or at least once a week. And MUFON doesn't really have that kind of pull here, even in the United States. So that being said, not too many other countries are reporting right now, but we'll see. Maybe that'll change. Now, there was a total of 35 countries that reported the 652 reports. Unfortunately, 16 of those countries only turned in one report. One report. That's all you guys can muster is one UFO sighting. Now, as far as states are concerned, I always like to break down the states. I think this is interesting to look at. And I go the extra mile, and I give you guys the per capita sightings, which MUFON used to do. They used to break this down. I don't think they do that anymore. I can kind of understand why, but to me, it kind of gives us a glance at really what's going on per state. If something really major is happening in a state, it'll kind of shine through that per capita statistics. Now, California took the top spot with 42 sightings. Now, California always takes the top spot for a reason. And the reason is they have the most population of any state here in the U.S. So you would expect the largest population would turn in the largest number of sightings. But we'll see how that's a misnomer as we get into the per capita statistics. Now, Florida was second with 36, and Florida, again, is in the top five in population. Believe it or not, that little boot of a state down there in the swamps, yeah, they're high with population. Texas was next with 26, and again, they're pretty high in population. Pennsylvania, 24. I don't have to repeat myself. Pennsylvania is also, I think they're in the top five. I know they're in the top 10. Now, Colorado was next with 21. They're not in top five, I tell you that. So keep an eye on that state. 19 reports for New York and Missouri. Illinois had 18, Michigan 17, Washington State had 16, Wisconsin 14, Ohio 13, Georgia and Kentucky turned in 11 each, and Nevada, Massachusetts, Oregon, and New Jersey turned in 10 reports each. Now, 32 more states made the list, but those guys had less than 10 reports each. So what about this per capita breakdown? Now, this information essentially states how many sightings happened per 100,000 people per state. And unfortunately, most of these are less than 100,000 people per state. So I'm going to give you a percentage. Last month, I finally had one that – since I've been calculating myself since February of this year, this was the first time that I've seen one that was actually – one report per 100,000 people, and that was the state of Vermont. They only reported 7 sightings in August, but they had a per capita rating of 1.12. So it was 1.12 sightings per 100,000 people, which may not sound very significant, but it kind of is on a statistical level. Now, yeah, there's been a lot of states that have been close, but unfortunately, the larger numbers usually are with smaller numbers of sightings, like Vermont was 7. Vermont also topped the scales in July with 0.64, which isn't much, with 4 sightings. Alaska the month before with 5 sightings at a 0.68. Alaska again in May with 0.54 with 4 sightings. Arizona was impressive in April. There wasn't really any big breakthrough there, but they had a 0.39, which isn't much. But that was with 26 sightings. So what about this month, or I should say last month, September 2016? And just to kind of reiterate what I was saying about California, 0.108. So a percentage of 100,000 people, not even one person. That's kind of like a toe of California saw per 100,000 people saw a UFO, even with 42 sightings. Now you compare that to Montana. Montana only had 5 sightings, but their per capita, 0.488. So almost a half a person per 100,000 people reported a UFO. Interesting. Interesting stuff. And it kind of goes downhill from there. New Mexico was next with 0.431. They only had 9 sightings. Well, they had 9. That's a little bit more impressive than Montana. Vermont, our good friends from Vermont with their pancake syrup there, 0.319, only 2 sightings reported. Colorado had 0.392 with 21 sightings, which is pretty good for that state. And obviously, they finished a lot higher than they normally do. Now, Nevada was impressive as well, 0.352 with 10 sightings. Missouri had 19 sightings. They finished with 0.313. And Alaska, 2 sightings, 0.271. And it just kind of rolls downhill from there. But it's impressive to see a state that has a lot of sightings, but it's very high in per capita. So I would have to call this month's winner probably Colorado. Even though Montana had a much higher per capita rating, Colorado had way more sightings, 21 sightings. So I have to dig into that and find out what happened out there in Colorado. So before I move on, I can't forget to throw down my numbers for October. And I thought long and hard about this a few days ago when I wrote down this, kind of did this story initially, and then I kind of revisited the numbers and kind of revamped them a little bit. I usually don't do that. Usually when it comes to mind, poof, I just do it. So maybe I overthought it. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. So to recap, in August, I predicted 695 total worldwide sightings. There were 696. Wow, it's pretty good, pretty close, right? 515 for U.S., 489 is what actually occurred. September, I predicted 675 total sightings. There were 652. Pretty close. Up to U.S. sightings, I predicted 471, and there was 466. So what about October? Looking forward to next month, here are my predictions. I'm predicting worldwide reports 609. Yes, a little bit of a dip there. It's a pretty big dip, actually, but that's what I'm going with. 609 total worldwide reports. And for U.S., 427. That's my predictions. That's what I'm going to go with. That's what I'm sticking with. We'll find out. We'll find out how I do in October. I know it's silly to do that, but it's fun. It's just having fun with these numbers. Sometimes people don't like numbers. It bores people. Statistics are boring, even though it does divulge the truth. The truth is hidden in numbers. It is. So we're going to jump to ghost news real quick here. And a big announcement this week. I was very, very excited to finally hear this news. And it's pretty rare for me to talk about new book releases here on the show. Yeah, I do a book of the week every week, yes. But I don't always talk about new book releases, even in the paranormal fields. But this week, a big exception. This particular book was scheduled to be the book of the week pretty much as soon as I can get my little grubby hands on this book and check it out for new updates. Now, I've held off having it the book of the week, even though it's been talked about quite a bit. I know I've mentioned it on my show. I've mentioned it in interviews. And I know a lot of other hosts on other shows here on WCJV have also mentioned this particular individual book that I'm talking about. And I've known quite a while, I've known about this, that this book was going to get a reprint. And it was going to relaunch second edition. So I've waited semi-patiently to make this announcement. I'm still excited. I'm a little giddy. Now, when I first started studying the paranormal, when I kind of got into the ghost field back when I was going to school and working full time and not really having a whole lot of individual time, I don't know how I made it to do this, but found some time to get involved in this field and start researching and going to libraries. And this is a book that I picked up, and a book that I just kept having to get it over and over again from local libraries. Back in 1996, there was one book that made a huge impact on me, which really drew me into this field. And this book is now back for a 30th anniversary second edition. And I will certainly be adding this book to my collection. As a matter of fact, I've already ordered it. Sunday night when it was officially released on CreateSpace, I bought it. And I highly recommend that you do the same. Now, what is this book? You may wonder, what's the big deal? What's he talking about? Oh, come on. If you haven't heard about this book, my goodness, where have you been? This is a big deal. This is the book, especially the book, not just in the paranormal, but for those of you who are in the ghost field, you've got to have this book. If you've never seen it, I'm sure you've heard about it. Yeah, I'm going on and on and on. But before I tell you the name, I want to remind you that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Brian D. Parsons, who is stringing you along and not telling you the name of this book. But I'm gonna tell you enough. The book is called ESP Hauntings and Poltergeists, a Parapsychologist Handbook. How could I screw that up? I've been thinking about this for like months. It's authored by Lloyd Auerbach. If you've never heard of Lloyd, he's pretty much the guy in the ghost field, especially right now. And this book has been hailed as the Bible for not just parapsychologists, but people who are involved in the paranormal by many people inside research and ghost investigations. And I could tell you, I feel the same way. Without this book, I mean, I'm sure I would have gotten in the field, but this really steered me in the direction of looking at things through a parapsychologist's eye and kind of being a little bit more scientific than a lot of other things I was seeing at the time. Now, again, I found this at a local library, and I kept taking it out again and again and again until I was forced to check it back in. And every few months, I would check it back out. And then after a while, it just kind of disappeared. I couldn't get a hold of this book, and I waited too long. And there were some available on Amazon, but they wanted way too much money for it. So I just kind of waited. And I had hoped that it would come back out again. And I've actually used this book as a number of resources in a lot of projects I've done over the years. But I was never able to find it, even in a half-price bookstore or anything like that. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this, but I'm going to mention this anyway. Years ago, I told Lloyd about my love for his book, and I'm sure he's heard that a million times by a million people. And I had a hard time finding it. Another book, by the way, that I can't find is Conjuring Philip. So anyone out there with that book, if you're willing to part with that, let me know. I'll gladly take that off your hands. Now, I ordered one of Lloyd's newest books, and I was surprised to find a CD copy of ESP Hauntings and Poltergeists with that shipment. I was like blown away. I was really excited about that. After I opened the package, I didn't even look at the book. I reread ESP Hauntings and Poltergeists again. I know it's probably bad to say that, but I didn't want to mention that he gave me a free CD. But I've supported him, and I talked about his work, and I'm doing it now, so maybe it's paid up for it. But I was very excited about this. Hopefully you're excited about it as well. And you can get the book on CrateSpace as well as Amazon. It's already on Amazon, so check it out. ESP Hauntings and Poltergeists, A Parapsychologist Handbook, second edition by Lloyd Auerbach. Now, hopefully this book can make some sort of an impact with the paranormal like the first one did. Major, major impact. I think it did. And it's lingered. Granted, so many people have written books on ghosts and ghost field over time. So I don't know what sort of impact it's going to have, but hopefully it does. Now that leads me into the book of the week, which is another book that's been kind of lingering around that I've not really gotten time to talk about. And it's by another pretty big name in the ghost field. You've probably heard of this guy too, Dr. Hans Holzer. Holzer was a paranormal researcher who sadly passed away back in 2009. He's written over 120 fiction and nonfiction books dealing with ghosts and other paranormal topics. Now, his first book, Ghost Hunter, was published way back in 1963. And I'm sure everyone out there has the big 700-page huge book, that big doorstopper of a book called Ghosts, True Encounters from the World Beyond in their paranormal bookcase. I know I've got it up here. Kind of like wedged in the middle of all my ghost books here. But that's not the book of the week yet. It's another one that I haven't really had time to really read through yet. That's going to be quite the read. I might need a vacation for that one. But this week's book of the week is Are You Psychic? Unlocking the Power Within by Dr. Hans Holzer. Now, if you've never read this book, I recommend it. It's not the book like Lloyd's book is, but it's going to provide you a lot of great information on psychics and psychic information. The big thing I have to preface here that I really need to mention this before I really get too far into any kind of review is it does say a guide to developing, controlling, and using your psychic abilities on the front cover. But in all honesty, it really doesn't teach that much about that. It doesn't really spend too much time talking about developing your psychic abilities. It's more or less kind of in passing. But the information you're going to get about psychic abilities, about ESP and psychokinesis and all of the things that are subcategorized in those two areas is immense in this book. It's really, really thorough, 170 pages. It does talk a little bit about it, but people have criticized this book for not really digging that far into psychic abilities or how to develop your psychic abilities like it says it does. But I think in order to really establish yourself as a psychic or to really establish any kind of abilities that you have or enhance them or whatever you want to call it, I really think you need to understand the subject. I've met a lot of people who claim to be psychic. They don't really understand what psychic abilities truly are. They can give me definitions out of a book, but they really don't really seem to understand what that means or what it does or how it really occurs. Now, the one bad part about that, sometimes people will take that as, when you feel an ache or pain and you look it up on some sort of internet website for doctors or for trying to diagnose yourself, you start to come up with weird diagnoses of things, and you start out with a headache that you feel like all the way on your side of your head, and you go from just trying to figure out what kind of a headache it is or how to get rid of it to, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I have like some kind of lymphoma thing or something going on. And that's the thing I'm afraid about with this book too, is that people will read through this book and automatically draw a correlation between something that they read in this book and then all of a sudden think that they have some sort of psychic abilities. But really, I don't think the book is designed that way. It's really, really thorough in talking about each and every little piece. And it really rolls together very well. He's done a good job with this. And again, over 120 books, you can't go wrong with Dr. Holzer. So are you psychic? Now, it does ask the question, but it really just talks more or less about psychic abilities. But it is a very, very good primer on understanding ESP as well as psychokinesis in pretty much good detail. And there's a lot of stories that kind of tie into it. There's a little bit of stuff in there that I'm not really a big fan of. Holzer kind of bothers me in some of his belief systems. I think he's a little bit too in love with some of the beliefs dealing with psychic abilities and kind of shies away from the science a little bit. But he does kind of bridge those two things together, which is very, very important, I think, because you can't be all sciencey or you can't be all belief driven. You have to be somewhere in the middle. That's how I try to live my paranormal life here. So that's your book of the week this week. Are You Psychic? Unlocking the Power Within by Dr. Hans Holzer. Now, enough clowning around. We're going to talk clowns. Clowns. Now, clowns are not paranormal. Nothing is really paranormal about all these sightings that you've seen in the news. Coulrophobia is plastered all over the place. People are afraid of clowns. Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of clowns. I never had anything negative happen with me and a clown, so I have no problem with clowns. I think the most disturbing thing that I think about clowns is when you see like 15 of them shoved in a little Volkswagen, little rabbit thing. That scares me. You know, that's scary. That's about it. Other than that little, the little hand buzzer thing, I hate those. I can't stand that. So I never shake a clown's hand, for starters. Nor do I sniff flowers on their shirts. I don't do that either. I've learned my lesson a number of times. So again, I've avoided this topic for weeks. This has been going on. It's been brewing. It's been getting bigger. But I kind of sort of expected it to kind of just go away. This is the kind of story that it gets big, and then Donald Trump says something stupid, and everybody forgets about it. Well, the media hasn't forgotten about it, and it's going big in the paranormal. A lot of paranormal radio shows, bloggers, everybody's talking about this story. So I can't avoid it. It's viral. It's probably the most viral thing going right now between the media and the paranormal. It's so large, I can't hide behind the big red nose anymore. The clown epidemic sweeping the country. Now, here's a couple of questions that you need to ask yourself. Is there anything to fear about this? And is this a new growing phenomenon? Well, as far as new, no. As crazy as it sounds, clown crime has been large for quite a while. It's been going on for a long, long time. Murders, rumors of abductions of children, all of those things have been happening for ever since clowns have been around, because people fear clowns. They misunderstand things. And anytime we fear or misunderstand things, we always think the worst, I think. Now, these sightings stemmed from the phantom clown drama of the 1980s, according to skeptical investigator Benjamin Radford, who recently appeared in People magazine online. Phantom clowns are clown sightings that are unsubstantiated sightings or ones that never really produce any evidence that clowns actually were involved. Is there anything to fear about this latest outbreak of clown sightings? You've probably read this, but no, not really. And people may say, are you kidding me? These things are everywhere. Scaring people, coming up to people's cars. It's only a matter of time till something happens, right? Well, Benjamin Radford is also quoted as saying that most clown sightings are copycats and that the initial appearance of a clown is, quote, low risk, high reward stunt because it's virtually guaranteed to make local or national news, unquote. Basically, that's meaning it's not exactly illegal to show up publicly dressed as a clown as long as you're not doing anything else illegal or questionable, although some states have laws against wearing a mask and threatening people. A couple of states that people have done this in. Well, I guess nobody really knows their laws on wearing a clown mask, I guess. I don't know. I didn't look into it when I ran around as a clown. Whoops, shouldn't have said that. Now, he draws on recent clown sighting data. In 2003, a story, I should say, in Northampton, England, that ended up being performance art as well as a publicity stunt. Now, this easily made the news and quickly spawned many other sightings of clowns in that area. A huge rash of clown sightings. Sounds familiar, right? Now, Radford also states that there are other clowns known as stalker clowns that seem menacing or threatening. However, the threat may only be a perception of those seeing the clown. I think there's a lot of that going on as well. Social media has been like a flame to the moth of panic and speculation. Fear and panic have been spread via social media with very little reason too. Now, that's probably the biggest problem right now. The media and social media. I think social media, people are blaming the news. People are blaming the media. Is it some sort of like living, breathing entity that eats pizza? No, it's social media. It's these little giddy little girls, no offense, that sit behind the computer and have nothing better to do than to spread drama or talk about scary things or people that are just posting videos or making up stories and scaring each other. Now, the good thing here is that most people that are involved with the clown drama or paranoia should they kind of feel like it should be slowing down. Now, I thought it would be over with, but it's still, to me, I think it's – I don't want to say gaining momentum, but it's still kind of lingering pretty heavily, especially when I started doing the research on this. Now, I'm going to give you a quick look. It's probably not a quick look. It's probably going to take me the last 17 minutes of the show to go through all these and – I started like not including stuff. There was just so much information that is just piled up over the last couple of months here. So this is just kind of a sample, kind of a little blurb for each day or each area. These are just the most noteworthy. I'm not including everything. That's how scary this thing was. Now, the big thing, it started back in August, late August, August 20th. There might have been clown sightings earlier in the year. I don't know. But this is kind of the one that started it all, the big igniter. And it started in Greenville, South Carolina on August 20th at Fleetwood Manor Apartments, an apartment complex. Keep that in mind. Several reports began to trickle in about clowns attempting to lure children into local woods. Now, the important thing here is we probably all remember – hearing about clowns in vans and all these things luring kids. But you know what? There's never ever been a substantiated claim, never a case where a child was abducted by clowns in a white van that says candy on the side. It's never happened. I know that's kind of our popular thought, but there's no story to verify that ever anywhere. Now back to Fleetwood Manor Apartments in Greenville, South Carolina. Later that night, another report from the apartment complex reported gunfire. However, police never found clowns, nor did they find any shell casings. And the story that people were shooting into the woods to kill clowns, that's pure speculation. It's just weird that it's kind of a coincidence, I guess, that there was several reports earlier during the day of attempts to lure children into the local woods, and then all of a sudden there were gunfire. It kind of sounds convenient, but I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't know if that kind of stuff happens a lot or not. not talking about the clown things, I'm talking about the gunfire. But it seems to me, the more I read about it, it seemed like it was coincidence. I know a lot of people put those two things together. Then we jump ahead to August 21st, the following day in Greenville, South Carolina. A woman reported seeing people dressed as clowns flashing green lasers in the woods behind the apartment complex. Yes, the same apartment complex where the gunfire took place, and the clowns were attempting to gather children into the woods. Now, following this report, numerous other reports began to follow, including a group of children who reportedly saw clowns. Other reports saw a clown with a flashing nose that waved at a woman, and she waved back, but the clown did not approach her. Another report flashed money, a clown flashed money in an attempt to lure children into the woods. Well, that's speculation perspective. I don't know. Police have never found any proof of these claims. The reports briefly stopped before starting back up a week later in Greenville, South Carolina. And they're continuing to this day. And police are a little irritated, as I'll mention a little later here in these reports. Now we jump to August 24th. Residents at the Fleetwood Manor apartment complex in Greenville, South Carolina, were delivered warning letters about the clown activity by the property manager, urging residents to make sure their children are supervised or keep them indoors, like they're cats or something. Scary stuff. Now, September 4th, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A clown was seen purportedly attempting to lure children into the woods around 8:30 p.m. 8:30 p.m. I'm usually in bed. Isn't that school night? I don't know. Two children reportedly saw the clown, and one adult states that they heard the clown. Not exactly sure what kind of noises clowns make, but that's a little scary that they heard the clown. Around midnight, another report of clowns 2 miles away occurred, and police were unable to find any evidence of the sightings. We jump ahead to September 7th. Saban Films responded to questions about guerrilla marketing for their upcoming movie release by Rob Zombie called 31, which involves killer clowns. I didn't know about this movie, but now that I've heard about it, cool. I want to go see this. They stated, quote, "The company and the film 31 are not associated in any way with the creepy clowns and costume characters found roaming the South." Rumors have also persisted that fans could be playing homage to the pending 2017 movie release of Stephen King's It. But New Line Cinema has already released their statement on this. Quote, "New Line is absolutely not involved in the rash of clown sightings," unquote. I think I missed my unquote on the roaming the South, so just in case, unquote. September 9th, David Wayne Armstrong was arrested on September 9th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, after police alleged he lied about seeing a clown knock on his window before he was chased into the woods. This according to People magazine. Now, the area had 7 prior events reported, although none provided any solid evidence of a clown. So this guy lied and he was arrested. First one there. September 9th, Dublin, Georgia. A person reported having to swerve from a clown standing in the middle of the road. The report was never confirmed. Yet immediately after the report, there were 7 clown sightings in the area with, again, no substantiated reports. So one report, all of a sudden, multiple reports. Keep that in mind. September 12th. Police in LaGrange, Georgia, began investigating threats of abduction of children from a local school. Arrests were made on September 20th of 2 18-year-olds, a 16- and 17-year-old, as well, on terrorist threats and disrupting school operations as the school had been put on lockdown. September 14th, Brandon and Rebecca Moody, 26 and 27 years old, respectively, were arrested after allegedly falsely reporting that they saw clowns luring children in Troup County, Georgia. They were both charged with obstruction and unlawful conduct during a 911 call. September 15th, Flemington High School, as well as the elementary school, were both closed in Alabama due to specific threats of violence from a group that called themselves the Flomo Clowns. The Flomo Clowns. They were stylish with replacing the C in clowns with a K. Wow. Good job, guys. A 22-year-old woman and 2 teens were arrested within 2 days with the help of 30 police officers and multiple FBI agents. Michaela Smith and the juveniles, who will be charged as adults, made several specific and graphic tweets towards the school, as well as the students in general. Smith was being held on $200,000 bond, and if she pays it and goes home, she will not be allowed to use any electronic devices that have internet access. Good. September 20th, a story about children reportedly seeing clowns the prior week in Annapolis, Maryland, turned out to be a hoax. Kids lied. September 22nd, Ocala, Florida, a video posted on Facebook by Caden Monroe Parmalee shows a clown hiding in the woods as he films from the passenger side of the vehicle. The video has 1.3 million views, about seven of them are mine, and has been shared over 21,000 times and has been mentioned from Rolling Stone magazine to many other news outlets. September 23rd, Middlesboro, Kentucky, 20-year-old Jonathan Martin was arrested while hiding in a ditch dressed as a clown attempting to scare people in cars. That's not smart. Martin was caught, arrested, and charged with disorderly conduct and cited for wearing a mask in a public place. You can't do that in Kentucky, folks. And he had two prior warrants. That's not very smart. September 24th through September 27th, York College in Pennsylvania sent out a warning to students about the 8 reports of clown sightings in the area. Granted, of these reports, one was of a hoaxed photograph from another state, and one was a rumor of a sighting. Again, no clowns were seen by campus police or contained any verifiable evidence. September 25th, Kelly Reynolds reports seeing 2 clowns while walking her dog in Palm Bay, Florida. Police responded instantly, but found no evidence of clowns. Probably a lot of dog poop, though. September 25th, Reading, Pennsylvania. A 16-year-old was stabbed to death after a fight broke out when he had a mask on his head, not on his face, from the movie The Purge. This mask was from The Purge. It's not really a traditional clown mask. He wasn't wearing any paint or big floppy shoes or anything. A 29-year-old man has been arrested in this particular case. I don't really think that this is part of the clown thing, but I have to mention that and have to mention the details of that case just because it's kind of been lumped in by a lot of other people. September 26th, Henrico County, Virginia. Motorists were startled to see a clown in the passenger seat of a van. A photo was sent to the local news station and, of course, created panic. Well, it turned out that this was a 12-year-old boy with autism who was donning a Pennywise costume for Halloween. His mother apologized about the incident that occurred while her son, Angus – Angus? Really named your kid Angus? He was riding with his grandmother with the mask on. He was a little excited. He likes the movie there. September 27th, a post made via Facebook by a person called Garbo the Clown has worried students – I would be worried too with a name like Garbo – many of whom who opted to skip school that week. The post stated, quote, "Everyone that goes to Chaparral High School in Las Vegas, run. We're coming for you," unquote. School and police officials has determined that this is just a hoax, although students are still not reporting to school as of today because of the threat. September 28th, Long Island, New York, a 911 call reported seeing clowns jumping in front of as well as chasing cars. A separate report in another area reported a person dressed as a scary clown. Neither report resulted in an arrest or further sightings of clowns by police. Schools were also put on lockdown after someone made an online threat through Twitter. September 28th, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. A boy states he was walking through an alleyway when he saw a clown wielding a samurai sword. Wow. That's a new one for clowns. Also in the same area, 3 clowns purportedly chased a child, and another clown was caught on camera in the area. No arrests or verification of any of the reports were made. September 28th, a high school girl waiting for her bus was purportedly chased by a clown. Other reports soon surfaced of clowns hanging out near schools, but none have been substantiated. September 29th, Coleraine Township near Cincinnati, Ohio, a juvenile was arrested for making clown threats, toward other students at the local high school. And a hoax story popped up on September 30th, where it was said that a man dressed as a clown was shot and was in critical condition. This was a fabricated story and never happened. September 30th, Pasco County, Florida, north of Tampa, where sightings had been very rampant as well. Schools were put on alert after a group called Ain't Clownin' Around posed threats toward teachers and students through Twitter. Schools were not canceled. September 30th, Reading, Ohio, Reading Community City District Schools officials chose to cancel schools or classes, I should say, after a woman was purportedly attacked by a clown the night prior and was told about specific threats to students at the school. September 30th, Miami Township, Ohio, near Cincinnati, a juvenile was arrested and removed from the school for making threats about clowns on social media. September 30th, Dayton, Ohio, a middle school was closed down due to a report of a girl reporting a clown with a knife, which ended up being false. She lied. September 30th, Fairborn, Ohio, a 15-year-old boy was arrested for making specific threats to kill students via Instagram. Yikes. October 1st, Reading, Ohio, 18-year-old Alexandra Connolly called police Saturday morning around 6 a.m. and told them that a clown jumped over a fence, waved a knife, and cut her thumb. But during a police interview, she admitted that she made the whole story up and she was going to be late for her job at McDonald's. Whoops. October 3rd, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, sightings continue with a woman claiming a clown had a machete and tried to lure her into the woods near an apartment complex. That's a big upgrade from a samurai sword, I would say. Ken Miller, the Greenville police chief who previously worked as a police chief in Greensboro, South Carolina, said, quote, "The clowning around needs to stop. It's illegal, it's dangerous, it's inappropriate, and it's creating community concern," unquote. October 3rd, despite numerous videos and reports on clowns, police in Seattle, Washington are not investigating the clown sightings. They are monitoring the situation, but so far none of the sightings involved anything illegal, so they are not being pursued. Now, this might be a smart move on their part to keep the popularity of the local sightings to a minimum. And from what I've seen, once a little bit of panic happens, reports in various areas seem to erupt. Hopefully that keeps that from happening in the Seattle area. October 3rd, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a 13-year-old girl was arrested for making threats using clowns on social media. Also on October 3rd, Washington Township, New Jersey, not too far away from this last case, another 13-year-old girl was arrested for making threats using clowns on social media. She told investigators it was a popular thing to do and it was just a prank. A 14-year-old boy was also arrested for separate occurrences of clown threats in Washington Township, New Jersey. Now, you know, everyone's blaming the media for this. It's the media's fault. They're making this a big deal. Well, kudos goes out to NBC 10 out of Philadelphia, who did not discuss either of these incidents, either online or on their newscast as they were occurring, but they've now covered them due to the separate arrests. Now, a few key takeaways from all of these sightings. And again, this is just a sample. There's a lot that I've skipped, but these are the important ones. Once a report comes in from a particular area, whether it's true or not, panic seems to ensue, and numerous other sightings all of a sudden come out of the woodwork. With the exception of the school threats, which are horrible, by the way, no violence has been reported from the clowns, and no one has been kidnapped, abducted, or killed by clowns. Now, yes, there was a boy shot, 16-year-old boy shot. He was wearing a clown mask, but it was on his head. And there is reports that these people knew each other, so there's probably more to that story than what we're seeing. Now, the big bad thing about all of this, not only the fear and the panic that it's creating in the public, is that the police are put in a bad situation because they're stretched out looking for these things, especially the potentially violent ones, the ones involving children. Yet a lot of these turned out to be hoaxes or pranks. Most police agencies have done a wonderful job at these sightings, with some publicly stating they're ignoring them, especially the ones that are just legal and aren't breaking any laws. Why investigate it? They're trying to keep the viral effect low, which, good job. Police have also done a great job by arresting those who have made false claims. This is very important. It's illegal, and good thing that they're showing people that they can't do this kind of stuff. Another good thing is, this is kind of out there, but I have to say it. I'm glad to see some of these kids are being made for making these threats. I think this is kind of – it's a good thing because these clown threats, these clown things, this whole idea of clowns is allowing some of these people that might be building up, getting ready to do something very, very bad. It's kind of giving them an outlet. So it's kind of weeding out these kids that are potentially violent. They may potentially inflict harm in the future, and it's getting them out of these schools. There's a lot of them. And, it's – the stuff is being taken seriously. So sometimes a kid makes threats in the school, and people just kind of ignore it or say, well, that's different. But now that this is a big deal. It's in the media. People can't ignore it. So whenever these things are made, they have to do something. So that's really a good thing that they're actually doing this kind of stuff. And today, Lauren Coleman released a blog that shows a little map that shows all of these sighting areas all over the United States here with these crazy clown sightings. Now, hopefully, they're going to start dying down. I think that it's pretty much over with, and I think we can kind of move on to our normal, everyday, boring, bland lives here in the paranormal. But never say never. I'm sure there'll be a few more cases, but I think with all of these arrests, over a dozen arrests, and the violence, potential violence, and people being scared, I don't think too many people are going to be dressing up as clowns for Halloween. And that kind of ruins my my costume. It's going to be a clown. Well, I guess I can't do that now. But anyway, thanks again to everybody out there who's listening to the show. Last month, even though I missed a week of that month, it's still very productive as far as my numbers. Not that that's a big deal. I don't worry about that. But I just want to make sure that people are actually listening to the show, and you do like it, because that's what I'm doing it for. I'm not doing it for myself. If I want to talk to myself, I could do that anywhere. I don't need a microphone in my face to do that. So big thanks to Cindy, my producer, for all the hard work she does and putting up for me going over a couple of minutes here tonight. And to Dita and everyone else in the chat room we just hang out in the chat room. And if you're not hanging out in the chat room, you're missing out. Again, on some links, a lot of information going on, floating around there tonight, where to buy these books, and all those things were shared in that chat room. But if you can't make it, I get it. I understand. I appreciate you listening to the podcast recording after the fact. And I didn't really have time to talk about paranormal conferences and conventions. I did add a couple, and I appreciate those people who emailed me some updates on upcoming events this year and as well as next year already. This is great, making my job easier. I appreciate that. So check out paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top and check out events near you. It's the silly season here in the paranormal. It's October. Halloween is just around the corner. Who knows what's going to happen here on the show leading up to Halloween. So keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar, at least, I don't know. And above all else, as Journey says, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
Listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.